Good morning, everybody. All right, so we'll jump right into it. Like I said, we have a new projector today. I was going to use it a lot, put some scripture up there, but the Wi-Fi is down. So we have a really awesome thing that we can't use. But it's okay. We'll just use that old stuff that we've used for thousands of years called books. So today, and I've done this a couple of times, but this is the first time in a while. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about pride. And how that affects us, and it's been on my heart for a while. I had this probably early or late winter, early in the year, and I let life get in the way of putting it all together. I procrastinated, and I felt like he wanted me to share this with you guys, and I kind of listened, I started it, but I didn't finish it. So I told Brantley that if he had an opening, to give it to me, and that would light the fire. So this is what's been on my mind and on my heart is pride. I'll start with Webster's, the dictionary. It defines pride as the quality or state of being proud. If you use AI, which everybody uses AI, right? AI tells us it's a deep sense of personal satisfaction, self-respect. But if you look further into the subsections of that and kind of go deeper into it, it goes on to say that's a good feeling that comes from some relationship, an association, or an achievement, or even a possession. You could take pride in knowing someone, like the governor, the president, pride in maybe winning a trophy, something you've done, an achievement you've made, pride in something you have, like a new truck, keep it clean, brand new. All that sounds kind of okay, right? You've spent your time, your money, to go get this thing or this achievement, and you want to feel validated about it. Let me use this example. You're a master woodworker. You go out, you find the right tree, perfect walnut tree that's out there in the forest. You cut it down, you use your axe. You're picking the right one. You spend hours sanding it, planing it, getting it ready for the stain. Weeks go by, and then at the end of all of that, you have this beautifully made wooden table that looks awesome. You stand back and you take just a moment to appreciate what you did. And if you're a youngster, you probably take a few Snapchats, take some pics and upload them to Instagram. It all sounds familiar, right? We've all done that. Any issues in that, admiring what you did, you think? I'm going to say it this way, though. You didn't grow the tree. You didn't provide the sunlight. You didn't provide the soil. You didn't provide the water to grow it. The axe you used had a wooden handle, same place from a tree. The steel blade was put here a bazillion years ago by the Creator. Those skills that you used to get that tree to a table were all given to you. Everything was given. You need to remember that you were knitted in your mother's womb. So we'll turn to Psalm 139 and we'll read this again the old fashioned way. 139, and we're going to start at, I think that's 13. So we're going to read some scriptures today. I hope y'all are okay with that. So Psalm 139:13 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, and I will praise thee." In 14, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." We were all knitted by him in the mother's womb. You created me, and I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. So is pride in your work a bad thing? Not really, but it can be. It can be when proper acknowledgement isn't given. Being appreciative of what was given to you, that's the sweetest spot. Being thankful and giving that acknowledgement to where and to whom it needs to be given. That's where we need to be. So we're going to read another scripture here. This one is 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel 2, and we're going to go 1 through 10 is what I've got in here. And so it says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, and let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bowels of the mighty are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. I'm going to just stop right there on that one. It says, talk no more so very proudly. Let not the arrogance come out of your mouth. I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but the Bible talks so much about arrogance coming out of your mouth. And I think it's important to realize that your actions are weighed by him. And the words that you say are very, very important. You got to have arrogance in his might, in his righteousness. Mankind, that is, we're both insignificant and significant at the same time. We're bought by the blood of the perfect. Christ died for us. He shed his blood for us. The perfect gave a price. And that amount was so much to get so little in return, but also so much in return. And all he asks in return is our heart. It's so easy for us to give that to him, but it's also so very, very hard. But that's all he wants. He wants our faithfulness, and he wants our heart. So we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians. This is, I've got 11 and 12 there. 2 Corinthians. Well, I think I left off one of those important things on this one. Y'all give me just a second. Let me see if I can find where I was supposed to be. This is what you get when you got a replacement guy. Yeah, it's all right. I think I actually put it in here. Let's see if I can. So in verse 9, I'll just read it here from what I've got. In verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, after harassment by Satan, he asked the Lord for it to leave him, but he was met with this reply, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And in verse 10, I think that's where I messed up, so it's 2 Corinthians 12, and we're in verse 9. I am content in my weakness, for when I am weak, then I am strong. How many of you have had an issue you've had to overcome where you simply weren't strong enough to do it? Your weakness was there for everybody to see, right? For us to grow, let me say it this way. Sometimes we're simply meant to endure that. We're supposed to endure it and allow it for his will to be done. And that allows us to grow. So during this time that we struggle with overcoming it, we try to find a way out, our own way out, right? We're coming up with ideas of how to win this situation per se, and try as we might, nothing really, really, truly works. The struggle continues, and it's a two-way struggle, really. I found that it's both physical and mental, usually. It's not until we release that control, which is both mental and physical, that we really completely submit whatever that is and ourselves to him, that we get that freedom that we're looking for. And that can be very difficult when you're in that situation. The issue may not go away. You know, we need to know that too. That's a tough one. The struggle does, though, because when you give it to him fully, when you say, Lord, here, take this from me. I can't do this on my own. And very few things can we do on our own, that he gives you the peace that only he can give you. Submitting it to him, so that he can do what only he can do, and there is that freedom. Boasting that I can do this, that never works out. And the toil that comes from that takes its toll on us. But instead, boasting in our weakness and acknowledging that I am given this to God so that he can take this burden from me and he can now freely do what only he can do, he can take it from us. We need to be careful how closely we hold these things. As I've heard many times, God will take it from you. If you're holding it too tight, he's going to take both arms with you when he takes it. So if we're going to do something, we want to boast in what he can do in your weakness. So we are going to turn to Jeremiah 9 and 23. And hopefully I got that one right. Jeremiah 9, we're going to go to verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understand and know me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight, said the Lord. Those are the things. That's a pretty good list if y'all are looking for a Cliff Note version. Those are the things that give him joy from us. Steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. And he didn't just say it, he declared it. The Lord declareth the Lord. A declaration, I looked this one up, it's a formal and emphatic statement. So that means it's pretty important. The Lord God declared us not to be proud of what he has given to us on this earth, but who he is and what he has in store for us, that we love and know him. So now we're going to tie a little bit together. We're going to go to Ephesians 2. And I did not put the number, I think it's going to be 2, and then we've got 12 through 22. But Ephesians 2, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, who sometimes was far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself one new man, making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy. And Cain preached peace to you which was far off, and to them that were nigh. For though we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, now you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints and the house of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Anything that we're built together, we can habitate God in the Spirit. One body. You are no better than anyone else. We're all one body. And it's a joy to be here with all of you as one body. Your riches are his. Your strength was given to you by him. Your wisdom and knowledge was a gift given to you by the Father, and it's for his glory. Remember that. It's his glory. The things of this earth are to glorify him and his everlasting love. And it's for us and for our love to one another. One of the two biggest commandments. Love him and love your brother. Do not take pride in what you have been given, but give thanks that he saw fit to give it to you. Use those gifts to proclaim his goodness, to help your fellow man, and to advance the kingdom of God. We are all one body, and we're joined together by Christ. If you were to take pride in something, take pride in that you are in him, and he is in you. The cornerstone dwells and lives in you. And there's a real world warning I came across a week or so ago I don't know if any of you know who Josh Howerton is, but he's a megachurch preacher that has a, I saw it on Instagram, but it was a video that opened up, you know, a warning. How many of y'all, and I actually experienced that this morning, so how many of y'all have been driving down the road and somebody cuts you off? And you go, man, what an idiot, or whatever other word you want to call them. Thanks, T. We have all done that. So we're all guilty of this. That guy or girl that cuts you off is a brother or sister in Christ. They are part of the body. You just called a part of the body a not very good word. Matthew 5, 21 and 22. And I'm going to switch. I've been in the King James Version. I don't know how my phone got there, but I can't read that. Matthew 5, and it should be 21 and 22. So I did my best to try to take King James and turn it into actual words. But Matthew 5, this is 21, 22. And these are the red letters, boys and girls. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Wow. He's telling you not to do that. That boy or girl, man or woman, was made in the same image as you were. You are not to look down on them from your haughty place, even if they did disobey an obvious traffic law, okay? You're so prideful of who you think you are and what you think you know that you are better than the same image of your brother and sister in Christ. Be careful with your audacity, is what I would tell you. What is given can be taken away very quickly. What a prideful mentality takes on is one that's without regard to God. That's where the trouble lies, is not giving the credit where it needs to be. We're going to go one more time. I think I may have one other. We're going to go to Proverbs 6, and we're going to go to I don't think that's Proverbs 6 to 16, but I did write it down. Okay, well, I'm going to read it from my notes, not from my phone, because it's doing something today, but Proverbs 6:16, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart with wicked plans, and feet that run to evil. Haughty eyes, one body. Psalm 131, y'all don't have to turn to this one, but it says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Harboring a boastful heart makes it at best difficult, and at worst, impossible to seek God's peace. Each time you search for the sins listed in the Bible, the ones listed in Proverbs as an example, the one that pops up first, just as it is here, is pride. Every single time. It's kind of weird. Every single time, pride. We're going to eat this fruit so we can be like God. We're going to build this tower so we can reach God. I'm going to make my own plans. How many of us have always done that, right? Mankind is, we have so much history to show us that's not the way to do it, yet we continue to try to do it that way. His will, not ours, right? It's His will, His plan, and we're going to be okay with whatever that may be. I'm deserving of being king. That's another one. You can see where this is going. Jesus came to us as a servant, no haughty eyes. The Son of God came to us on this earth, no haughty eyes. He came to us as a servant, no better than any of his brothers or sisters, and I can assure you neither are we, right? Jesus was rebutted by Peter when he tried to wash Peter's feet. And in Roman times, I want to let y'all know, the duty of washing feet was not a high honor, okay? It was the lowest of the low. There was no pride in being a foot washer. But the Son of the living God washed his brother's feet. And not only did he do it, okay, But he did it with a grateful heart. And not only did he do it for Peter, but guess who else he did it for? He did it for the accuser. He did it for the condemner. He did it for the man that was going to send him or be responsible for sending him to the cross later. And he knew that. And he did it anyway. With an open heart. Come into this world is what I would tell you guys. As a servant for your brethren. And serve them daily. Abandon your arrogance. Serve them with an open heart that is thankful for all the many gifts that God has given to you. Use them to spread His word, whatever word you've been given, and do not build a perch for yourself to look down on someone. We were each given gifts. Your gift may not and probably won't be the same as somebody else's. That's by design. I don't know if y'all know that, but that is by design. We all had the same gifts. I don't think it would work right. He knew that. But it's special to you. Your gift is special to you. And it is special. Looking down on your neighbor's gift is bad. But it's also important to remember that what you were given is important. Do not hide your talents. We all know the story of the man hiding his talents, right? That was money. This is an actual talent. Not everyone can be a preacher. I'm certainly not one. Not everyone can be a great counselor. But if your gift is hospitality, then be hospitable. If it's being a counselor, then counsel. And so forth and so on. He gave you that gift because He knew who you were when He needed you in your mother's womb. Use it. Don't hide it. Your gift may be just as simple as you being you out there in the world. It may be that simple. It doesn't have to be something extravagant. But if He gave it to you, it's special to you. So use it. And if that's whatever that may be. Jesus fed the thousands. We all know that story, right? Jesus fed the thousands. And He did it with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But He needs you to bring the basket. And He needs you to bring it in faith. He told them to go out there, bring me what you can. Just bring me what's out there. You've got to do it, and you've got to do it in faith. When He says, bring me the basket, you got to take Him the basket. I would encourage you, all of you, as Brother Bill has often said, to do your own searching. This is something, even though my phone was messing up on the scriptures, do your own searching. See what the Spirit reveals to you. And we used to have, back in the old days, LeVar Burton used to say, don't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it. Do your own searching. The scripture will reveal things to you. It's the living word. It will reveal things to you that today that it may not tomorrow. So do it with an open mind, an open heart, and see what God will show you. Little surprises I'm sure are going to wait out there. God loves sharing. I know the excitement that I get when He shares something with me and my family. So I appreciate the opportunity. I will just tell all of you guys that it's important to know how important you are to Him. You mean something to everybody here, everybody out there. Use those gifts, and then you've got to take back. You've got to be able to do that. I'm done. I'm going to ask Phil, if you would pray for us on the way out, that we would have a wonderful week, a wonderful rest of your day. Hopefully some of you got something out of this. If you didn't, if you did get something, it's from Him. If you didn't, 4 spring quarterbacks fall. So.